We shall now turn to the passage of Scripture which we read, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Here we have today the most challenging of all the parables of Christ. How can anyone read the story of the rich man and Lazarus and not be converted? It describes for us hell in the most dramatic and horrible way. The flames, the torment, the thirst, the agony, the helplessness, and the eternal lostness of hell. And it tells us too about heaven, the bliss and the blessedness, the reward of heaven. We're told here about a man in hell who wanted a message sent to his brothers. He was afraid that they too would come to hell. He was afraid that they would come there to torment him. He wanted Lazarus to go and warn him. Surely if somebody comes from the dead and tells them about hell, they will repent. But Christ came from the dead and told us about hell, and still they don't repent. And we have here, as it were, a message from hell. And yet, people harden their hearts, close their minds, and do nothing about it. What about you? Could there be someone in here today who's still unconverted and unconcerned and on the way to hell? I would like us this morning to think about contrasting lives. And then secondly, contrasting deaths. And then thirdly, contrasting eternities. So first of all, contrasting lives. We're told here about a rich man. It's wonderful to be rich, isn't it? Tremendous to be rich. To have money, loads of money. Can do what you like with money. If you have money, surely you can buy anything. You can have so much comfort, so much enjoyment, so many pleasures if you have money. So here's this man, a certain rich man, loads of money in the bank, loads of money in the house, clothed in purple and fine linen, the clothes of a king, royal apparel. Whatever he wanted, the best designer wear. He could go to the most expensive shops. Whatever he wanted, he had. And he fared sumptuously every day, eating and drinking and making merry. Christmas time. Sometimes you go out for a meal, maybe, with folk. You maybe go to one of the best restaurants and you get this really delicious meal, all beautifully presented. Maybe you have a lovely Christmas dinner and you're all gathered there and there's nothing is spared. Everything of the best. But here's this man and he fared sumptuously every day. Not just a special occasion, not just a Christmas dinner. He had everything What would you do if you had lots of money? What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do? So many people think what they would do if they had piles and piles of money. Big house, luxurious, beautiful furniture, amazing kitchen. They'd have a car, Mercedes, a Porsche, beautiful car, fast car. They'd have wonderful holidays abroad to distant, far off countries. What would they do if they had lots of money? What would they wear? What would they eat and drink? And they think of all the pleasures that money would bring. And yet, at the end of the day, there's something kind of empty in it all. But then there's a very different kind of man. We're told about this man, Lazarus. A certain beggar. He was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Here's a man in poverty, awful poverty. He's a beggar. Of all the jobs you could have, surely a beggar is the worst. You go down the town there, down to the city centre, and you see these fellows sitting on the pavement. It's cold, it's wet, they've got their little plastic cup in front of them. How miserable. How miserable. They seem to have brought it upon themselves with drink and drugs and so on. But, well, in Lazarus's day, there was no social security. There was no disability benefit. There was no money given, handed out by the state. So here's this poor man, and he's sitting there begging. Poverty. And then we're told that he was laid at the rich man's table, at the rich man's door. He couldn't walk. He was disabled. He was carried or dragged along by some folk who took pity on him to that extent that they would drag him along to the gate of the rich man. And he was thrown there every day. And we're told that he was full of sores. Imagine his skin all broken and weeping and bleeding, and these big holes in his body full of sores. And then we're told that the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, it's not pet dogs that's been spoken about here, but these nasty, filthy, flea-bitten dogs that went round the city in packs, eating the garbage. And they came along, and this poor man couldn't chase them away. And there they were, and there he was, and the dogs licking his sores. And kind of saying to themselves, we long till this man is dead and then we'll eat him as well. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Notice it doesn't say here that he was fed with the scraps, but he desired to be fed. Desiring, longing, begging for a scrap. He was seeing a rich man eating, and his family eating, and he was seeing the servants eating, and he was seeing, yes, plenty being thrown into the bin, and he desired to be fed. Occasionally, maybe got a crumb. What a miserable existence. What a contrast. The rich man, bliss. He's got everything. And Lazarus, he's got nothing. Miserable. Who would you rather be? Really, would you rather be the rich man or Lazarus? But then there's one thing to notice. We're not told the name of the rich man, but we're told the name of the beggar, Lazarus. So the name is obviously very significant. Lazarus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Eliezer. Eliezer means whose help is in God. So here's this miserable beggar, but his help is in God. Doesn't look like it, but you don't know. Sometimes God puts his people through terrible trials. He puts them through all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and illnesses, physical and mental, and all kinds of trials and tribulations and poverties and disappointments and discouragements. Why? Because God is shaping and forming jewels for his own crown. And God is beautifying. I shall come forth as gold. That's what Job said. And few people have suffered what Job suffered, if any. I shall come forth as gold. Eliezer, Lazarus, his help is in God. He has something wonderful then. He's got God. And that's better than all the riches that this world can offer. Better than all the pleasures that this world can give. You look at the rich people and they're all upset on Friday because of this Omicron virus, and it's affected the stock market, and suddenly they find they're losing millions of pounds and they're so upset about it. They're so troubled about it. You look at these celebrities and they're going from one experience to another, seeking after pleasure in drink and in drugs and in sex. Going from one relationship to another. And it's all so empty. And then they commit suicide. Or they die of an overdose. They're gone. They've got nothing. You see, the pleasures of this world, they promise so much. But there's always a bitter sting in the tail. And you look at these things, and the good things of this world are always far better beforehand. When you're thinking about them, you're thinking about something you're going to do next week or next year, and it all looks so exciting, and if you achieve this, and if you reach it, it's going to be really great. Then you get there, and, well, nothing's very much in it, really. It's just like a bubble. So beautiful, catching the sunlight. You take it, and it's burst. There's nothing there. It's gone. Well, contrasting lives. Who would you rather be? The rich man with everything. Lazarus with nothing. The rich man minus the one thing needful. Lazarus. He's got the pearl of great price. But then secondly, let's look at contrasting deaths. We're told here first about Lazarus. He died first. Well, you'd expect that, wouldn't you? His body covered with sores and all this illness. We're told about Lazarus, the rich, that the beggar died. and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So there's Lazarus. Eventually one day, he just can't get up out of his hovel. He's there. And he's getting weaker. And he can't go to beg anymore. Nobody seems to care. In that stinky hovel, a filthy bed, in agony with the sores, nobody cares. He's alone, dying. No, he's not alone. He's got servants. Where are the servants? Angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? That horrid, filthy, smelly house that you and I wouldn't go into, but the angels are there. Lots of them. They're all around us there. Remember how it was with Jesus, born in a cowshed amongst the filth, but the angels were there. The angels were filling heaven, singing glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels gathered around the birth of Jesus. And here are the angels. And they're present with dying Lazarus, ministering to him. And Lazarus turns in his bed and he looks up. And he sees through the roof. And he sees through the clouds. And he sees into heaven. And he sees the Son of God standing up with his arms outstretched to receive him. And he cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he leaves this world. His breath stops and the angels pick up his soul and carry it in triumph to Abraham's bosom. Not to some corner in heaven, but to the very lap of Father Abraham. And then we're told about the rich man. The rich man died and was buried. The rich man, he was eating the best of food. He had warmth and comfort. And all sorts of things, but eventually sickness comes. It comes to us all. No matter how healthy, no matter how careful we are about our diet and our exercise, still death comes to the point that unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The rich man dies. Yes. They took him to the hospital. The doctors and the nurses were fussing around him. They were providing him with this medicine and that medicine, trying out this surgery and that surgery, but it was all no use. Eventually, he died. And when he died, they washed his body, put it in a beautiful coffin. They had lots of flowers there, and they called together all their friends, and they had a wonderful funeral there. A celebration. That's what they talk about nowadays. A celebration of his life, and they were all gathered round telling jokes and talking about what a wonderful fellow this rich man was, and all the great things he did. They were thinking of him up there in heaven, looking down, laughing at their jokes. Yes, we see some strange funerals these days. But meanwhile, the rich man was where? In heaven? No. Closing his eyes on this world, he opened them. And the torment of hell. What a contrasting death. There he is, lying on his bed in the hospital. And it begins to dawn on him. I'm dying. And he starts getting agitated because he wonders, what's going to happen when I die? Lots of people in Glasgow, and they think, when they die, that's it. That's the end. The world came into existence with a big bang. Evolution brought men and women into being. And one day, we'll die, and that's the end. Humanism. Humanist funerals. There's nothing. It's all gone. But although they talk in that way, and although they boast of these things, deep down inside their heart, there's a little niggly thought. A little niggly thought, maybe. Maybe there's something more to life than we thought. Maybe it didn't all happen by chance. Maybe I've come from somewhere. And maybe I'm going somewhere. Maybe death is not the end. You see, God has put a conscience in each one of us and a sense of himself, an awareness of God. Yes, and there's the rich man lying in his bed in the hospital, and he starts to think, well, I wonder what's going to happen when I die. Will I get to heaven? Or will I go to hell? And he's frightened, he's anxious, he's troubled. And the doctors see that he's troubled, so they give him some morphine, and he falls asleep. Then after a while he wakens up, he starts thinking about his death again. Am I going to hell? He's troubled, and they give him more morphine. And then that happens again. Again they give him morphine, and this time he sleeps and sleeps and sleeps away. Closes his eyes on this life and opens them. And where am I? I'm in hell. In torment. In the fire. The lake of fire. The misery. The agony, our lost eternity. What contrast! Lazarus, whose help was in God, dying in his hovel, and the angels singing around his bed. And the Lord Jesus drawing near, and his soul carried to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died with every comfort and every palliative care. But what good is that when he opens his eyes and the fires of hell? What death would you rather have? The death of Lazarus or the death of the rich man? But then thirdly, two contrasting eternities. Death is not the end. Many hope it will be, but it's not. Death is but the beginning of a never-ending eternity. The rich man passes away in his sleep. In hell he opens his eyes, being torn in absolute misery. In the flames, in the thirst. And there's Lazarus. He closes his eyes upon the hovel that he's in. And he opens his eyes in paradise. Not in some corner of paradise, but in the very center of paradise. Not in some far off part, but in the very lap of Abraham. Yes, Father Abraham's bosom. God is his help. The world could have looked at him and said, he's got no helper. He's got no one who cares for him. But he did. And through all his trials and his troubles, he discovered that God's grace was sufficient for him and God's strength was made perfect in his weakness. And there he is in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man in the pains of hell looks up. And he looks up to heaven. And there he sees Lazarus the beggar. He recognizes him. And he recognizes Abraham. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus so that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm not asking for very much. All I ask for is one drop of water. Wow. Just one drop. One tiny little morsel of comfort. But prayers from hell are never answered. Today is the day of prayer. Ask and you shall receive. But if you don't pray today, it's too late once you end up in hell. All I'm looking for is one drop of water, one tiny little morsel to comfort me in this flame. But there's no comfort in hell. Not even one drop of it. The rich man had a great life in this world. He had his heaven here. And that's what he set his heart on. Are you setting your heart upon an earthly heaven? Setting your heart upon the pleasures of this world or the riches of this world? If you are, it'll soon be gone. How quickly our life passes. What is your life? It is as a sleep. You know how you go to your bed, you're tired, you lie down, and the next thing you know, the alarm clock is ringing. Asleep. Might have been 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, and it's passed. That's your life. How quickly it goes by. But eternity, that never ends. Millions and millions of years, and it's still eternity. It's just begun. And then, the rich man, he prays and he says to Abraham, I have 5 brothers. Send Lazarus to warn them. Is there love in hell? Do you think there's some love in hell? The rich man, feeling sorry for his brothers, doesn't want them to end up in hell. Do you think that's what it is? No, there's no love in hell. There's love in this world because of common grace, God's goodness. And God's grace, there's no love in hell. He's just concerned about himself. Sometimes people say, bravado kind of people, they say, oh, I'd rather go to hell and be with my friends there. But your friends will be your greatest enemies in hell. Your family will be those who will torment you most. And here's this man, the rich man, and he thinks, what if my 5 brothers come here? How miserable my life will be. 5 times more miserable than it's been already. So he says, send Lazarus so that he will warn my brothers lest they end up here tormenting me also. But Abraham says no. They have Moses and the prophets. But then if somebody comes to them from the dead, surely they will respond. But no. If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen though somebody would rise from the dead. So here we've got the rich man and Lazarus. Two very different people, contrasting lives, one rich, the other poor, contrasting deaths. But the biggest contrast of all is eternities. Heaven and hell, and a great gulf between the two. So that there's no passing from hell to heaven, and there's no passing from heaven to hell. There's no second chance. So important to remember that. People think to themselves, well, I'm not really bad enough for hell. Might not be good enough for heaven, but maybe there's somewhere in between. But no. Maybe somehow God is love. Surely I get a second chance. But God is also holy, and God is just, and God is true, and God has made threats, and God keeps his threats. And so we have here a great warning, a huge challenge to each one of us. Are you, like Lazarus, prepared, ready to go to heaven? Or are you like the rich man in danger of ending up in hell? Who can imagine the awfulness of hell? And who can imagine the glories of heaven? And friend, none of us need to end up in hell. Because the Lord Jesus says to us, look to me and be saved. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast them out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A glorious free salvation on offer. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let us pray.